Here we go!
You're listening to the Video Game Show on URN.
Hey everybody, it is Saturday, it's 2 o'clock, and it is the Video Game Show on URN. Slightly late start today, we're listening to some music. But we're here now. I'm your host for the week, Mark. I'm going to be Luigi, and I'm here with Jack on the decks. And I think Jack's a Wario kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't mind Wario.
Yeah, I think if Wario's you had to pick legit. One, Wario. And then we've got special guest Tom. Tom, which one do you want to be?
I'm going to be Tanuki.
You're going to be Tanuki Mario?
100%.
You're going to be Tanuki Mario. Okay, that's I can respect that. So yeah, we're going to do a show about video games for an hour. How does that sound?
That sounds all right.
Yeah, we've got quite a bit to talk about today.
We don't have nothing to talk about, that's for sure.
I mean, we've got March just around the corner, literally, so we can talk about all of the games coming out in that.
Oh,
I know,
mate,
we've
so many video games
coming out. We've been hyping up all of the games coming out in March for quite some time now. And we're finally now getting ever so closer to it. I mean, the Switch comes out, what, next week, is it?
Next Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, so we can talk about that as well. And we've got other stories that we can talk about. So we've got quite a packed show today.
This week has been the week that pre-release coverage for probably some of the biggest games of, I'm going to say, the first half of the year has all come out. So we've got reviews going live for Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yep.
We've got, I think, press were given 4 or 5 hours to play Mass Effect Andromeda, and their impressions are allowed to go up. The Legend of Zelda is in the hands of actual human beings, and they're playing it, and stuff's going up for that too. And I think reviews hit for that next Thursday, but people are allowed to give their impressions now. So there's,
I think, all three of those titles have had pretty good first impressions from what I've read.
Yeah, man.
People are excited for
Horizon's doing really well. Yeah. Horizon's
getting
up.
Like four out of fives, nines out of tens across the board.
Giant Bomb gave it 5 stars out of 5, which I thought was really impressive.
Yeah, there's 5 stars there. There's like 9.5s from Polygon, and like, I think Kotaku's given it whatever, yes, positive, or whatever the rating they do. Like, people seem to really, really like that video game. It looks really cool. I wish I had any money.
I
wish I had a PS4.
Yeah,
I could play it.
I watched a comparison video between PlayStation 4, PS4 Pro, and then PS4 Pro 4K.
Oh yeah.
And they, to be fair, I couldn't tell. I was watching it on a 1080 screen, so I couldn't tell the 4K one, but they all looked consistently brilliant. I couldn't really tell much of a difference.
Yeah, that game looks insane.
But yeah, it's a pretty game.
And it's like, the word coming out just appears to be that there is Guerrilla's first try at that kind of Far Cry style, like, open world formula, and they've done it better than Far Cry just immediately. Apparently it's just awesome.
The thing I read that was most impressive was the stability of the game. Like, it was never dropping frames. It was running at 30 FPS, which isn't impressive on its own, but it never dropped.
Yeah, like, at some point consistency is worth more than just,
which is, that's good to know about that engine though, because that's the Decima engine, is the one that Hideo Kojima is going to use for Death Stranding.
Yep.
So, oh, man.
I mean, he was always going to pick a good engine, but it's a good,
I keep forgetting Death Stranding is going to be a
video
game.
Have we heard, like, anything more about Death Stranding?
No.
Wait till E3 and we'll get a 7-second trailer.
Probably,
it'll be
great.
No, it'll be another 10-minute monstrosity, because Kojima just wants to make movies.
But yeah.
Back
to Horizon Zero Dawn.
It looks like a really
interesting title.
I want to play it. I'm looking forward to maybe over the summer when I don't have a bunch of uni work to do and I can play Horizon Zero Dawn.
I want to shoot robot dinosaurs with a bow and arrow.
That's
what I want in my life.
It very much looks like, I don't know if any of you guys played Recall, but it very much looks like a sort of bigger and better and more prettier looking version of Recall. I mean, I don't know if you end up having your, like, companion in this. I'm not sure if it,
I think,
goes
the,
as far
I think
like
from
that,
what I've seen, companions look like pretty expendable. Like, you can get a thing that means you can just control one dude that will just help you fight.
But I mean, again, you know, with the other games that are coming out as well, Zelda's been getting pretty good reviews as well.
People, it seems to be that I've seen a few different places where people have come out saying, like, you immediately go, oh, this is really, really cool, this is really different. And then it looks like that every reviewer I've seen has been like, yeah, you enjoy it, and then you start to wonder if maybe actually it's too different and there's not enough substance there, and then they all seem to turn around on it and say it just becomes awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Which is great, because I'm glad. It's good that it's different, but it looks like as well, there's a lot of people coming out and saying really positive things about the, like, crafting and cooking and survival skills.
Yeah, that could have gone really badly for that game. Crafting can very easily break a video game.
Yeah, but like the fact that people are coming out going, oh no, it's really cool that you have to make sure you've either got file or like an extra wool coat or whatever when you go into a cold area and stuff like that. That sounds...
Yeah.
I don't know, it sounds like they've done something really, really cool with Zelda, which I'm really hyped for. I've got that pre-ordered, so that's going to be the one of these games I'm actually going to play.
On Wii U, right?
Yeah. Awesome. I picked up that really cheap Wii U.
I'd like to hear your opinion when you do get around to playing it on whether or not, you know, people should go out of their way to buy a Switch to play the game, or if they have a Wii U already, then they can just sit down and play it. I mean, obviously you won't have a Switch to compare it against, but I'd really like to just know how it looks on the Wii U as compared to how it looks on a Switch.
Yeah,
really.
Man, for real. Mm. Well, I mean, I think it runs at a slightly lower resolution, but both have the same target frame rate of 30.
Mm-hmm.
But there is word coming out as well from different places saying, oh, maybe it's not keeping to that frame rate exactly. So
on both platforms, or
it looks like people only have the Switch version anyway.
Right. Okay. That makes sense for news outlets to use the Switch.
Yeah. So, but I do think that at some point someone is going to have to, even if it's just for like half a paragraph in someone's review.
Yeah.
It'd be nice to see a comparison of those two and see if it's just is it just the fact it runs at a slightly lower resolution, or is there noticeable dips in performance and other stuff? We'll see. I think that could be really cool. And the other thing as well is people seem to quite like that new Mass Effect game.
Yeah, Andromeda.
Yeah, which is rad, because that game, I want that game to be good also, like really bad.
Yeah. I haven't heard too much about it. I mean, they're keeping the story really under wraps, aren't they?
Yeah, I still don't really quite get what's going on with anything.
I mean, it's sort of... because they dug themselves into a hole with the Mass Effect 3 ending. And so to get around
the whole
that,
way that ends,
they're moving to the Andromeda Galaxy so they can have a whole new... story, whole new characters, and also returning races and factions.
Aren't the characters that you get to pick? You get to pick a male or female character. Isn't that not like Commander Shepard's like granddaughter?
No, it's completely unrelated. It's like
no
it's,
relation to it. Okay.
Yeah, it's completely unrelated because the time, the actual ship, which is I think it's called the Hyperion. I think the actual ship left the Milky Way galaxy between 2 and 3.
Okay. Right,
and then it was flying through space and you're all in stasis. I think it's like 630 years or something like that. So it allows them to kind of a whole new galaxy, isolate themselves from that, but then also, I guess, they did it so they can bring back Asaris and Turians and Salarians and stuff. Like, they're because it is like a gene ship and there's all these different races preserved on there to go and spread Milky Way life elsewhere, they can get away with doing that. But then I've only seen, like, two new alien races, which seems weird, but I don't know.
I think one of the things about that series of games in general that I like, that not a lot of games really tend to do, which I think that they should do, is the fact that you can make choices, and the choices that you make will affect how the rest of the game happens, basically. I mean, obviously you've got things like the Until Dawn, which, you know, you can choose where you want to go and what decisions you make, but
That's a lot more of a focused experience, though. That's
Effect,
one night.
That has been in Mass Effect's core since, I believe, the first game, where you know, your interactions with the people around you really do affect how the gameplay plays out. So if you're really, you know, getting angsty with a certain race, they'll remember it later on in the game.
If you didn't decide
to help them out, and then later in the game you need help from them, they'll be like, well, actually, I'm not going to help you because you didn't help me at this point, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah. There are moments in that, and you know, party members can die and actually like be properly dead and stuff like that. It's cool. I hope that game's really good. It's an awesome universe.
I never gave Mass Effect 1 a chance. I played about 8 hours and then decided I wasn't into it, and I regret that because I always wanted to get back into it, but being direct sequels, I felt like I needed to go right back to the beginning. So Andromeda, for me, seems like a good place to get on board.
Yeah, I think because it looks like sort of smoke on the street is that game is bigger and better and louder and more bombast, and it is also very much at the core the same thing. And that's cool because those guys know how to make a sci-fi universe.
Yeah, man.
It's been the DICE Developer Conference Summit thing they do in Vegas every year last week, and they've given out some awards, and Overwatch has cleaned up as well because, of course, it's Word and all this other stuff. But the thing that I thought was really interesting is Bonnie Ross, who is head of 343.
Yes.
Who are the new Halo people. I say the new Halo people. They are the Halo people for the last 5 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Well, quite a while, actually.
When was Halo 4?
2012, 2012.
And I guess...
But 343 worked on the Waypoint app since 2009.
Oh, wow. And then what, Bungie's last one was Reach in...
Which was 2010.
2010, yeah. So they've been the Halo people for...
A long time.
A long time now. And Bonnie Ross has come out saying that not having split-screen multiplayer or co-op in Halo 5 was a whoopsie on their part.
They are the first people to realise this. No, not at all.
Yeah, it's totally unsurprising. Like, yeah. I would actually have been more surprised if Halo 6 also didn't have it, yeah, considering how much backlash they got about removing
it's
it from 5.
Yeah.
The part of the success of the original Halo was the fact that you could sit down with three of your friends in your lounge and play split screen.
Yeah, man. And then the co-op campaigns as well, I know, have an incredibly important part in the hearts of most people who played those
games.
And
then to just remove that and say, oh, it's all right, you can play online. It's not the same. It's not equivalent.
Yeah, not at all. But and then the other bit I thought was really interesting was she sort of finished off her interview saying that she knows that Halo has always been a transmedia franchise, which is fair enough. Like, they had Fall of Reach, came out at the same time as the first game,
they've
and stuff.
Which is a book, and they've had now about a dozen and a half
books, and
maybe two dozen,
and like films and short TV series and all sorts.
Yeah.
But she said maybe there's too much story in the games, and we should take out more story. And for Halo 6, we're going to lean more into making it more transmedia, which sounds to me a bit like when everyone said we didn't like the story in Halo 5. She's just going, fine, we'll take all the story out.
Well, the issue is, Halo 5, they added in, instead of being one Spartan super soldier character, there's now 8.
Yep.
They added in 2 teams of 4.
Yeah.
The Master Chief, who you always played and who you know.
Yeah.
And his 3 friends, Fred, Kelly and Linda, who, if you hadn't read the books, you wouldn't even know they exist.
Yeah,
if you
just play the games, that's like the first time they've actually been in the games, isn't
it? They aren't introduced, it's not explained how from the ending of Halo 4 to the beginning of Halo 5 they are just suddenly with Chief.
Yeah, totally. Because it isn't even something insane, like the first game has some weird throwaway bit of dialogue that says, like, you're the last Spartan.
Yeah.
Even though in the book they came out with it, it's like, no, there's like 3 Spartans who no one even knows what's happened to them. Yeah. And then it just turns out they all turn up and stuff.
I mean, those are really cool stories.
Oh, yeah, like, definitely. Fall of Reach is wicked.
Ghosts
of
Onyx,
well,
which talks about why they went missing during the Halo 2 era, is a fantastic read. But then to just drop them into a new game with no explanation was a crazy move.
Yeah, and then also you had the whole team of Spartan 5s or 4s, whatever they are, led by Locke.
Yeah, the new crew, which was led by Locke, which is a new character, fair enough, introduce a new playable character. And there was Buck.
But now he's a Spartan.
Who is Nathan Fillion, who has been in
previous... Yeah, because it's the same Buck from ODST, isn't it?
Yeah. And then, fair enough, add him in, because he is known. But then to add just 2 new characters who I can't even... Vale and...
One of them wore red armour.
Yeah, and one of them wore some other armour. Entirely forgettable.
I really wonder if removing story is the right thing to do there.
No, it wasn't that. Halo 5 had too much story. It just had a poor story.
I think again, I've got the game. I haven't had time to sit down and play it, but
like, I don't want them to just completely get rid of the story and then for Halo 6 to be a complete letdown, because then they'll anger the fans even more.
Yeah,
and you know, Halo is just a brilliant franchise. It's been running for God knows how long now. And, yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with Halo 6.
Because Halo Wars 2 just came out
a
couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And people are suggesting that the story of that, they might try and tie it in to the main Halo series.
Well, we watched the cutscenes from it the other day,
didn't
we?
I don't think we watched all of them, though. No. There were only about 4 that we watched.
Yeah, we skimmed around, but we saw the post-credit scene, and that looks be pretty explicitly tying some of the Halo Wars 2 stuff into some of the stuff I recognise from Halo 5.
Yeah.
So,
again, if they choose to tie it in with that, they can't really, you know, Halo Wars 2, although it might not be everyone's game of choice, to play in terms of RTS, but the story in that game, like you guys are saying, and the cutscenes are incredibly worked, and they are tying back to the story. So if they do want to, you know, carry on from that, they are going to have to keep up with the story.
I really hope this second trilogy has just followed the same arc as the first trilogy, and you get 4 that's interesting.
4 had
and good,
a really good story.
I really like
3, 4,
4.
3 can make a good story.
Yeah. And then 5, much like 2, is weird and transient
sort of
and kind of, it's got some issues. And then hopefully 6 does what Halo 3 did and is awesome. I guess the other thing is that the Nintendo Switch is coming out in, what, 6 days? Coming out on Friday the 3rd.
About a week, yeah.
Same time that Zelda's coming out. And, yeah, like, that's getting out of people's hands as well. Obviously, I don't think anybody on this show's going to have hands on one. Zoe has got her pre-order, so I don't know, there's a chance in a couple of weeks' time we might end up getting some actual first-hand reviews from one. If they get into a Christmas season with a new bit of hardware with a new Zelda and a new Mario on it,
I
can't imagine they're going to struggle fulfilling their year's numbers.
Not at all, yeah, because, I mean, this is it. They are
arguably going to be two of the biggest titles on that console. I mean, we haven't obviously heard about what is in development in the future in the next couple of years. Obviously, there's the Skyrim. People are trying to make Skyrim work on the Switch and whatever.
But, you know, when you think of Nintendo, you think of Zelda and Mario.
Yeah,
and
like they don't give a lot of love to a lot of their other first-party franchises these days. No. But Zelda and Mario, like...
Rooted
franchises in terms of video game history.
Obviously, one of the things that we keep talking about is the fact that we're all sort of upset that they're not including 1-2 Switch as like a packaged game like they did with the Wii Sports for the Wii.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it seems like a huge misplay on their part.
Because what is it? It's like £45 for 28 games or something like that, isn't it?
Is it 28 minigames? Because last time I was on, we didn't know how many.
I'm pretty sure
they've come out with numbers now. It's 28 games. Which, and yeah, is it £35?
I think it's about £35. It's about $55 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's a $50 game, which comes to like £35.
So it'll probably be 40 here.
No, we checked on Amazon. Amazon listed for £35 because £40 like is supposed to be full price here, really.
Yeah,
yeah.
But
I mean, like again, 28 games for £35. It's not too bad.
Some of those games are so quality, short, though.
Yeah, some. I mean, I watch some people play some of those games, and some of the games just look super dumb.
I mean, I can play like Wii Baseball for a couple of hours. I can't pretend Sports to milk a cow for more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, well, I mean, they've got a mode that I watched Dying Bomb do their video feature on it, and they had a couple of people in from Nintendo who were there with the Switch, and they were playing for a mode where basically you can. They claim that it's for between 2 and 20 players,
right?
Because obviously you can just pass the controller around. You don't need to have 20 people with a controller, and whatever. But you can pass the controllers around. You can split up into teams, and you have like red team and blue team, and then you get like a little roulette wheel which you spin, which determines how far you move across the board, and then each time you land on a game, whoever wins that game gets to then spin the roulette wheel and then move on forward, and it's basically a race to the end, and you play like, I don't know, about 15 mini games.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, it depends on how back and forth.
Yeah, like if you roll high, you're going to play less mini games, I guess. But
yeah,
and I mean, like that concept seems cool.
I
mean,
don't know.
These are really mini games.
Yeah, guess how many balls are in the box is a genius piece of technology, and it's awesome that they've managed to get something that can accurately do that.
I could do that myself. I don't need to buy a Switch for that.
At some point, is that a mini game that's worth 1/28th of your £35?
Hi there, I'm Arava, a Formula One YouTuber, and you're listening to URN Video Game Show.
So we've got the Hall of Game to do, and we've got one write-in from Dylan who's missing, because Dylan's not very well. Shout out to Dylan, our erstwhile companion, who has fallen from the path of righteousness to go and sit at home and be ill.
Princess Peach.
Yeah, MIA. He can be Princess Peach. Yeah,
so what are we
doing
for Hall of Game?
We're doing favourite weapon.
That's a big...
Yeah, I know, right? We haven't done it.
It's a big one.
Somehow we didn't do favourite weapon.
I thought you did.
Yeah. I think we sort of spoke about it earlier on. But we never really we cast it back to our.
Yeah.
We just put it aside because we were like, well, this is going to be one of our main big ones that we can talk about.
Yeah, I think because we did like.
You did favourite vehicle.
We did like character, villain, and then vehicle. And someone said, why don't we do weapons? And someone else said, what about if we didn't do every single thing that's acting in a video game immediately and tried to make it more interesting?
Yeah.
But now we've run out of originality and we're falling back to weapon.
We were devoid of talent months ago.
Wait, we only started this show months ago.
Yeah, I know, right? So, favourite weapon. Jack, do you want to start us off with your favourite weapon from a video game?
Whenever we were talking about it first, obviously, being a massive Call of Duty fan that I am, the first thing that sprang to mind was, obviously, Intervention from MW2, because 420 no-scope and all of the stuff to do with all of that stuff. And I remember playing with the Intervention and it just being a really good gun. And then I was talking about, well, maybe my favourite gun from a Call of Duty series is the Model 18 Akimbo, which... pre-patch when they patched it, because it was really, it was just insane. You could kill people from like, you could, like, 20 meters
two
away
at once, and
just if you just spam your triggers, yeah, you literally kill anyone that comes around the corner.
Yeah, but those guns were OP as hell. Yeah, there was a lot of imbalanced weapons in Modern Warfare 2,
yeah,
wasn't there?
Yeah.
Which is still my favourite Modern Warfare, though.
Yeah, me too.
Definitely. Definitely. But yeah,
move twos for life. Let's go.
The gun that I chose is not from Call of Duty, surprisingly. It's from another series of games that I like, and it's called the Boganella from Borderlands.
It is,
and
Jack.
It's from the pre-sequel. It's called the Boganella, and I've got a weapon description here from the actual game, and it says it's got slightly increased damage, magazine size, fire rate, accuracy, and pellet count. Unique voice module. Always spawns with a triple barrel. So what this gun does is basically when you shoot it...
So it's a triple barrel shotgun.
It's a triple barrel shotgun, and when you shoot it, reload, kill someone, or change your weapon, it will shout something at you, and it will generally tend to include swear words. And I just think that...
In a terrible really Australian accent as well. Like, you just get yelled at by an Australian woman.
Your own gun.
It's absolutely insane. I think just in terms of, like, unique and individuality of a gun, I don't think there's any other gun that shouts at you when you kill someone.
Mark.
Oh, I was looking at you to be like, hey Tom,
oh, all right,
what do you want to do? But you said my name, and okay, I think I'm pretty special as well, so you could do me if you want.
You're not very nice to your guests, are you, Mark?
Oh no, I'm actually a really bad host. My favourite gun, and this is starting to become my own personal Halo or Call of Duty, is from Unreal Tournament.
Yep.
I picked the flat can from Unreal Tournament.
What's that?
Yeah. So,
that's actually, I've not
so
actually
shotguns
heard of that.
Are cool in video games. I think we like, you've picked a shotgun as well. Like, shotguns are, in first-person shooters, they're always a fun weapon to use.
You pull the trigger, it makes a loud bang.
Yeah, they
and
always
anything
sound
that's
good.
Close in front of you isn't close and in front
it
of you anymore.
It just becomes a fine mist. And so, Unreal Tournament, because it's a crazy future space shooter, decided that the shotgun would be a refurbished piece of mining equipment called the flat cannon. And it's this hulking, like, bright yellow monstrosity you hold, and it's got warning tape and stuff on it, so it looks like a piece of mining equipment, but it's been modified to shoot out blasts of molten hot steel, or you can do the alternate fire, which shoots out a bomb that explodes on contact, and it's awesome, and it's really, really powerful, and it feels really good, and it looks rad. It's just a cool weapon. It taps into all those things about shotguns that are super fun in video games, and then ups it and makes it way more interesting and exciting and different, because it's way more
nice.
It's not just a shotgun, because there are, like, obviously Unreal Tournament, it's a future shooter, but there are guns in that are just an assault rifle or just a chain gun.
Yeah.
And then it goes, no, we're not just going to have a shotgun, we're going to have this monstrosity that shoots a spray of molten hot steel into people.
I was going to go honourable mentions. I was going to go for the Last Word from Destiny because of its really fun firing method. You fam the hammer like you're a Clint Eastwood in a Western movie.
That's pretty
and because
cool.
of its great backstory. And then I thought about the Halo 1 pistol because
of
its ridiculous damage.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go with the banana skin from Mario Kart. Underrated weapon.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
I can make both
shout.
Of you two furious.
Yeah,
with a banana skin in Mario Kart.
See, what I like it with the banana skins is when you get three banana skins and you're in first place, you just put it at the back of your car
and you're basically untouchable
and then
from any shells.
Blue shells, green shells.
Well, not so much blue shells nowadays. But
oh no, red shells.
Yeah,
and green shells,
like red shells when someone's in second and they get a red shell and they're like, yeah, we're gonna get the person in first, and then you just have a trail
have a
of
shield.
Bananas. Yeah,
we've got a write-in from Dylan. So, can everyone guess what game Dylan's picked his favourite weapon from?
You did tell me earlier, but I can't remember it now. But I did think before he was going to pick the Halo assault rifle.
So he's picked something from Titanfall 2, funnily enough.
Ah.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to read out what he's written here. He said, the softball, aka the salt ball, from Titanfall 2. Last night, playing Live Fire, which is their new game mode, by the way, which is their, like, competitive 6v6, 1-minute rounds,
okay.
No Titan
thing. Oh, so they released that, though?
Yeah, that came out yesterday. So last night, playing Live Fire, I was rule running and jumped past an opponent, and as I did so, I stuck them with the softball, which I believe is some sort of sticky grenade launcher, I think.
Mm-hmm.
They exploded behind me, and it felt like those samurai scenes where they run at each other and one doesn't die until after they've gotten past each other.
Yeah, that's awesome. So they run past each other, they stop, and then one of them falls. The other one stays still with his sword in the air.
Except in this case, they run past each other on the wall of a building, and then one of them explodes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that is cool.